Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. Viral hepatitis are distinct diseases that affect the liver. They include hepatitis A, B, and C. New data by the World Health Organization reveals that an estimated 325 million people around the world are living with chronic hepatitis B virus, HBV, or hepatitis C virus, HCV infection. The virus inflames the liver and leads to acute and chronic disease. And today we will discuss hepatitis on the program. And joining us in the studio here in Washington, D.C. is Ms. Jane Pan. She's Executive Director of the Hepatitis B Initiative of Washington, D.C. Ms. Pan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Lenore.
Great. And also joining us via phone from Accra, Ghana, is Theobald Owusu-Ansa, President of the Hepatitis B Foundation, as well as President of the Hepatitis Coalition of Ghana, among other things. Mr. Owusu-Ansa, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Great. You have more affiliations, but I stuck to those two. And we're very happy that you're joining us today from Ghana. And
I'm also happy to speak on that.
Fantastic. We will discuss hepatitis in a moment, but first, VOA's Lisa Schlein takes a look at the latest report by the World Health Organization.
New data show an estimated 325 million people globally are living with chronic hepatitis B or hepatitis C virus infections. The World Health Organization says most of these people are untested and do not know they have the disease. Consequently, WHO says they remain untreated and are at risk of chronic liver disease, cancer, and death later in life. Gottfried Hirnschall, director of WHO's Department of HIV Global Hepatitis Program, says more than 1.3 million people died of viral hepatitis in 2015, about the same number as from tuberculosis. However, he says more people die from hepatitis than from HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, and significantly more than from malaria.
What is, however, the difference between hepatitis and those three other diseases is that the trend for hepatitis is upwards. We're seeing an increase in mortality, while for the other three diseases, it's been going down over the years. Since 2000 and 2015, we have seen a 22% increase from 1 million, as I said, to 1.34 million.
Hirnschall says many of these deaths are preventable. Vaccines and medicines exist that can tackle viral hepatitis and save lives. He notes there is a highly effective vaccine that can prevent the transmission of hepatitis B from mother to child and can protect young children from becoming infected. He says people with hepatitis C can be cured by taking a single highly effective antiviral pill every day for 2 to 3 months. He says the cost of treatment now is affordable as the price has fallen from a prohibitively high $84,000 for a course of treatment to $200 in many countries. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And again, thanks to both of you, my guests, for joining us today. Let me start with you, Ms. Jane Pan. What is your reaction to this report that the WHO released recently?
We are very, very excited about this report. That means we are on the road to find a cure, find treatment, getting more help, getting education out there. There is a plan to eliminate hepatitis in 2030. So we are very, very excited about that.
That's fantastic. And Mr. Owusu-Ansa, what is your reaction?
Yeah, I can say also in Africa here, we are also happy for this statistic. But Africa, we have not done a lot when it comes to hepatitis prevention. Then the question I always ask, is Africa ready to eliminate hepatitis in 2030? No, we are not ready.
Wow.
Because most of the...
Yes, go ahead. Why not?
Africa country doesn't have policy in place. So to fight against the virus, we need to put structures in place. But Africa, we are not ready to eliminate hepatitis in 2030.
Wow, that's a very strong statement, Jane. Africa is not ready to eliminate hepatitis by 2030, according to Mr. Theobald. What do you see in your experience and the WHO's report gives us a lot of hope, but we have cases like this part of the world where Mr. Wusansa is, where there's not much hope. What is your experience? Do you see hope? Because you work with underserved communities here. Is there hope among these communities?
Definitely, we have a long road ahead of us. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of challenges that we have to overcome. First of all, there's a stigma related to this viral hepatitis. And so to overcome that, you know, for people to accept that there is this disease that affects your liver, that causes cancer, all right, instead of silence it by the stigma. And so I think there is hope, but to start off with, education, and that's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. It is not an easy task by all means. That is not. And even when what we do, HBIDC, when we reach out to the communities, and it's very, very difficult because they don't know about hepatitis. And they would tell us, no, that's not our disease. We don't know anything about that. Why are you here? You know? And mm-hmm. so we have to educate them. We have to educate everyone. We have to educate the importance of this disease. And it can be cured. It can be eliminated because we have a very effective vaccine. It's not an easy task, yeah. but at least there's a plan, there's hope, mm-hmm. and we just have to work a person at a time.
One person at a time, indeed. And Theobald, you, first of all, give us a sense of the incidence of hepatitis in Africa in general, and particularly in Ghana, where you live.
Okay, thank you for your question. In Ghana here, let me concentrate on Ghana first. In Ghana, we don't have concrete data on the incidence of the viral hepatitis in Ghana. Mm-hmm. But we have reported cases from Ghana Health Service since 2016. From 2009 to 2016. 2009, we reported 4,216 cases. And out of this number, 118 people died from the hepatitis. In 2010, 5,304 people were tested for hepatitis B, and 81 died from the disease. In 2011, 5,915 were infected with hepatitis B, and 78 died from it. 2012 was 12,740, and 162 died from the disease. 2013, 8,865 reported cases and 100 died from it. 2014, 51,209. Now you have seen the number from 2013, that's 8,865. 2014, 51,209 and 108 people died from the disease. And 2015, 47,743 people were tested positive, and 104 people died from the disease. In 2016, that's the last year, 51,743 people were tested positive for viral hepatitis, and 118 people died from it. So this is the incident from reported cases from Ghana Health Service. But as a national rate, a prevalent rate in Ghana here is 12%.
Our
population...
Mm-hmm. 12% of the population.
Our population is 27 million. And out of 27 million, 4 million is living with this disease. So you can check, you can see how hepatitis is increasing in Ghana here. And HIV incidence is dropping, it's decreasing. But hepatitis is increasing because of lack of education.
That's so critical, Ms. Penn. Let me have your reaction to this. Lack of education, you just mentioned it, and we see in the case of Ghana that obviously the numbers are increasing. Is it only lack of education, or could it be also that perhaps there's better ways to detect these diseases, because you are also very much involved in screening? So do you see that it could be a factor, perhaps not specifically in Ghana, but in general in your work? Is there better screening that is enabling the fact that we see more cases, or are people really getting more infected?
Not knowing the effectiveness, the transmission, how it's transmitted, you know, and that it's, and not finding out those the carrier, the hepatitis carrier,
yes.
All right, and then it's transmitted, and it's, and it can go very fast, you know,
yes.
and so it's really, really important that we have to work together collaboratively to make this happen, that to make this to under control at
yes.
least, you
yes.
know. And so the data that Mr. Owasu just indicated, it's, I'm not surprised, because we don't have a good surveillance. We do not have a good data collection system for the hepatitis.
Mm.
It's not only in Ghana. In the U.S., we have the same problem. We don't have enough data. And so it is a bigger problem than we actually see what the data is representing.
Now, that's really mind-boggling, I have to say, because it is so clear that the numbers are increasing. So when we see that the numbers are decreasing when it comes to HIV/AIDS, and the numbers are increasing when it comes to hepatitis, what is, Theobald also answer, what is your take on the way that they need to be changed? We talk about education, we agree, but what type of the education, at what level, whose responsibility is it? Where do we start this process of education? Because education is a big word, really, because it entails so many things.
Okay. What I can say about it, why is the HIV decreasing? Because HIV, when it comes to education, government is putting much effort on education, and there's also political will. And other NGOs are also doing a very good job. And also, the big problem for hepatitis is funding. Funding.
Okay, I think we just lost him. We're gonna get him back. And Ms. Penn, you work very much in education. So, where does the process start? Because you work with underserved communities.
It has to start from the top. It has to start from the top, and to make a big announcement like what HIV used to do,
yes.
you know, and on TV, on radio talk shows, like what you're doing. And it just the stigma that goes along with this hepatitis,
mm-hmm.
it's people are not talking about it. They suffer in silence.
That's incredible.
And they don't need to suffer in silence. People don't need to do that. But because of the stigma that is attached to this disease, and that's why this disease is winning. So we need to talk about it. We need to have people talk about having the disease, the people mm-hmm. who is affected by it. And so open communication, education on TV, on poster board, on radios, and that, you know, it's so important to start. And also, you know, all the transmission, you know, how it's transmitted, you know, needs to be controlled. And so that will, I would think that's from, you know, from the start to start with.
Okay. And Theobald, we have you back. Thank you again for joining us. Ms. Penn talked about, because I asked this question, where does the process start when it comes to education? Can you give us your reaction?
Okay. So what I was saying, education starts when government show commitment, and sometimes to the community itself have to accept the program. The program, what you are bringing there, you have to accept it. And education in Ghana here, let me give you an example, what we have been using to educate the people. Because when you go to the community, you want to talk about hepatitis. Because most of people doesn't know anything about hepatitis, they just look at your face. So what we have been using is, we use posters, we use entertainment to educate them, using the entertainment and drama. We use the drama to also educate the people about the disease. Because when you use the drama, they get the concept more than using just word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They get more concept than using with the head of mouth. So education also play a crucial part of a hepatitis program.
Okay.
And also, government has to take responsibility.
Okay.
Government has to take responsibility. If you don't take a responsibility, you leave the treatment, education to anybody, then people have to accept the information is also another problem. So the government have to take responsibility. You have to pay much attention to it, like HIV, what they have done for HIV and malaria. And when it comes to Ghana, HIV has reduced. Now it's 1% here in Ghana, and hepatitis is 12%.
Wow.
It's because of lack of education.
That's incredible, and these are very good points. We will continue our discussion. We have to take a short break, so stick with us. We'll continue with Jane Penn and Tilwald Owusu-Ensa. We'll be right back. But for now, it's time for the news with Kira Spiro.
Thank you, Lenore. U.S. health officials say the United States will run out of the vaccine for yellow fever as early as next month, and travelers who need a shot might have to wait. A manufacturing problem has created a shortage of the only version of the vaccine licensed in the United States. Officials with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say they are bringing in another vaccine that is used in other countries to lessen the shortage. Health officials are urging travelers to plan ahead. Yellow fever can cause jaundice, abdominal pain, vomiting, internal bleeding, and organ failure. The virus is spread by the same mosquito that transmits the Zika virus and other tropical diseases. Scientists in the UK and the Netherlands say extremely small particles of pollution have the potential to evade the lungs' protective filter system and end up deep in the body. Scientists asked 14 healthy volunteers to breathe in the air containing particles of gold while exercising for 2 hours. A day later, researchers found that gold nanoparticles had made their way into the bloodstream of most participants. And for some people, the particles remained in the body for months. They were detected in people's urine 3 months later. Researchers speculate the particles could then build up in blood vessels and raise the risk of heart disease. The work appears in the publication ACS Nano. And finally, people who drink sugary sodas are more likely to die of a heart attack, develop diabetes, and contract gout. Health researchers say avoiding soda is a way to reduce the rates of obesity. That's why some new technology could mimic the taste of sugary drinks without sugar could be a big deal. Technology is being developed in Singapore. Researchers are only working with lemonade, but think the technology will work with other kinds of drinks. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
Thank you, Kira. That was Kira Spiro with the news. Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic is hepatitis. And our guest is Tilwald Owusu-Ensa, president of the Hepatitis B Foundation and president of the Hepatitis Coalition of Ghana, who's joining us via phone from Accra, Ghana. And in the studio here in Washington, D.C. with us is Jane Pan. She's executive director of the Hepatitis B Initiative of Washington, D.C. Now, Ms. Jane Pan, let me ask you this. In terms of the disease itself, what are some of the risk factors of hepatitis, and who is at risk?
So people, if you have at least one parent born outside of the United States, in this country, okay? And then also if you're living with someone who is diagnosed with hepatitis B, or previously living with someone who have been diagnosed with hepatitis B, or if you have been diagnosed with diabetes or HIV and AIDS, and or if you're currently using injection drugs, and or if you're born from between the year of 1945 to 1965, or if you have received blood transfusion or organ transplant before July 1992. Mm. And so these are all the risk factors for people that, if you answer yes to any of these questions, should find out your hepatitis status.
That's good to know. And Tilwald, once somebody knows their status in Ghana, what is the next step? What is available to them?
Yeah, that's a vaccination. For those who are negative, they need to vaccinate it. And those positive, we don't have much specialists, qualified doctors like hepatologists here in Ghana. We don't have, and most are centers in teaching hospitals that in the cities. And majority of the people who are living with the disease are living outside Accra, Kumasi, in the rural areas. So the treatment is accessible in Ghana here, but it's very expensive and also available only in the cities.
Oh, wow. So then that's another challenge to face. So people that are in remote areas having access to this treatment. And
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And when we go to communities to do awareness, education, screening and vaccination, some people, when you tell them they are positive, they will say, wow, I don't know. This is my first time. What is hepatitis? I don't know anything about hepatitis. So to getting doctors to treat them is very difficult. So sometimes we have to group them and transfer them from the rural areas and bring them to the city for the doctor to treat them. And going to like Kolebu Teaching Hospital, it will take a patient 5 months before you see a specialist.
Wow.
5 months before you see a specialist. So what you have done is we're able to talk to some of the doctors. So those who are coming from Hepatitis Foundation of Ghana, you can get appointment the same day.
Okay.
But and those people who doesn't know anything about Hepatitis Foundation of Ghana, what happens to them?
Yes.
You have to wait for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
That's really...
To get appointment.
Wow.
That's terrible. That's really terrible.
Yes.
And when you think about it, I mean, Ms. Pan, you do your work here in the United States. So
yes.
You have access to many of the specialists and care.
Yes.
And you are still serving underprivileged community. But when you make the comparison, they're really privileged.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes. And people don't know that.
Yes.
People don't know that.
Yeah.
You know? That's really, they need to hear about this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't know that how privileged they are, that, you know, and we're very lucky that we have NIH close by.
Yes.
You know, in the area that we can refer them to. We have doctors who's willing to volunteer their hours to help.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people, because the disease has no symptoms, they feel fine. You know,
they
don't want to get tested.
Yes.
And even if they tested positive, you know, they don't want to get treatment. They don't want to take medications, you know, so that's why it's very, very a difficult disease to cure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then, Theobald, when you look at so many challenges that you're confronted with, what is your appeal? What can the local government, I mean, you mentioned some of it, what do they need to do and what can international organizations do to help?
Okay. What we want the government to do is, first, they need to integrate hepatitis education to HIV education.
Okay.
Two, they need to also include hepatitis treatment to National Health Insurance. It can be 50%, 50-50, pay 50, then the patient also pay 50.
Okay.
And the two, like HIV, the screening is free. So it also make hepatitis screening free for everybody. The vaccination, we have to introduce both those who are positive mothers, and birth dose too. We have to also start birth dose because preventing the disease is cost effective than treating the disease.
Yeah.
The international, we need their support in terms of funding, and they need to also put pressure on the government because the government listens to them more than the local people. So when they put pressure on the government will see the need to take hepatitis as a national asset and get a treatment for people who are positive, and also make free screening vaccination because hepatitis affects everybody everywhere.
Yes.
So this is our appeal to the government.
Okay. And this makes sense, not just for Ghana. It's an appeal that resonates globally. One of the things that is said, Ms. Penn, is hepatitis and HIV education together. That's,
yes.
That's, I think this is brilliant because given that the challenges with hepatitis, it's viral, it's very dangerous, but then it seems like there is more work around HIV. So combining the two could be an approach, a solution, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's a very good solution. And people don't know that hepatitis is 100 times more infectious than HIV.
How so?
Because the virus can stay outside of your body for 7 days and still be able to infect a person.
Stay outside of the body?
Right.
Where? Like and in surfaces?
On the surfaces.
Oh.
But the HIV virus, that, you know, it will die right away.
Okay.
Once it's
if
once
there
it
is an infected
body.
Blood or
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, it would die right away. But it is 100 times more infectious. And yet we don't know about it.
We don't know about this.
Yes.
We don't know about this. So where do we go from here? What do we do? I mean, Theobald, how does your team go about educating the community? How do you go about advocating for what you need? What do you do?
Yeah, we use community gathering. We contact the community opinion leaders in the villages that this is what we want to do about hepatitis. We show them the documentary, and we use community gathering. We use education and entertainment to also educate the people. After that, we provide free screening and vaccination. And those who are positive, we have doctors we are working with. We refer them to the doctors to also take care of them. And we will do the cancer aspect, because we have to cancel them and remove fear and panic from them. And also, we have to fight against stigma and discrimination.
Okay,
because
yes.
Because when you put a lot of burden on the patient, so we help them fight against stigma and discrimination in their home and their workplace. So this is what we have been doing around educating people about hepatitis in Africa and Ghana too.
Okay. And Jane Pan, the Hepatitis B Initiative works in communities. Tell us about some of your work.
So we reach out to the at-risk communities with the Asian Americans and the African Americans. We go to churches and we go to temples. We go to community centers. We get the buy-ins from their leaders and educate them about about viral hepatitis. And once we get the leaders buy-in, the leader will go out and educate to their constituent and say that this is okay, you know. Then we'll go in and do an education. Then we'd go and do the screening. We screen for hepatitis B and we screen for hepatitis C. And then we include glucose and lipid panel, just because people don't like to screen for hepatitis.
Yeah.
So, but people always want to want to find out their glucose level.
Yes.
And their cholesterol level, you know. So that's one way of our marketing plan, is to call it a health screening. So they will come and do the hepatitis screening. Okay. And so those who tested positive, and whether they have insurance or not insurance, we call them. We call them, and before we send them the results, we call them and we ask them if they need help. And if they need help, we try to link them to doctor's care.
Okay.
And then those who are not protected, who doesn't have the antibody, then we will give them vaccination.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much. And I thank you both for joining us today, Ms. Jane Pan, with the Hepatitis B Initiative. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Theobald, thank you so much for joining us with the Hepatitis Coalition of Ghana.
Thank you very much.
I'm your host, Lenore Mudu, in Washington, D.C., with producer Kwame Ofori and Kira Spirley for the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.